Yeah, this is all I got today. So if Justin would come up, I know some people are hard of hearing. So Justin is going to do an interpretive dance of the entire sermon. Starts leaving like time bombs at the house or something, I will know it is you. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, during the picnic, I talked about trusting God. And I talked about, you know, whatever you are going through, whatever may come, we need to trust God. God is good. God knows best. And that is still, I think, just about the most important thing for us to know. But I think it's also worth discussing, what does it look like to trust God? Abraham trusted God. You know, the Lord told Abraham to leave his country, leave his family, and go to a distant land that God would show him. God had did not tell him where he was going to go. Abraham didn't even know this God very well. But Abraham followed God. You know, if you want to read the story in Genesis, you can read it. Abraham makes lots of mistakes, but he followed God's call. He did what God told him to do. So to trust God is to follow his lead. I want to make sure you get that. To trust God is to follow his lead. You know, God says jump, and we jump. God God says, stop, don't do that. So we stop. Knowing what God wants can be difficult. But we listen for his voice. I mean, the whole Sunday school class. The Sunday school class this summer is about hearing God's voice. And I'll tell you, it's not that hard. And we can get used to hearing God's voice. And we know what he wants. I think the more difficult problem, what is harder than knowing what God wants, is actually doing it. God wants us to go places we don't want to go. God doesn't want us to go places we do want to go. I mean, God does things that are weird, like take away my voice on my last Sunday. Now, what is that all about? Since you're laughing, I assume you can hear me. To trust God is to go where he leads. It's like walking down a road. We're walking down the road with God. And God says, hey, let's go over there. And you say, no, I don't think so. I don't like the way that looks. He says, no, this is where you need to go. Say, but I don't want to go there. I'm scared. I'm not going to go there. Or we're walking down the road. And God says, hey, let's go over there. I mean, you say, hey, let's go over there. And God says, no, no, no. That's not a good place. And you say, but it looks great. And he says, no, it's not good. And all too often we don't understand. All too often we don't know why. And we want to know why. And we want to do what we want to do. I go where I want to go. And I don't go where I don't want to go. If I think it's scary, I don't go there. If I think it's going to be uncomfortable, I don't go there. We don't really trust God. We don't trust that he knows better. We believe deep in our heart, I know better. That place is going to be too painful. I will not go there. And then we miss out. We miss out on life. We miss out on healing. Before I read the scripture, how many have seen The Shack? I mean, it's a pretty popular show. Or read the book. Quite honestly, I thought the book was better. It's the only time that has ever happened in my life. I think they did the book better. I mean, I'm sorry. I think they did the movie better. I always think the book is better, but I think they did the movie better than the book. Now, I know there are lots of people with lots of theological problems with The Shack, okay? And I'm not going to argue about any of that. I have some problems with it that I've never heard anybody else complain about. Okay? But if we will take The Shack as a parable, don't take it as a treatise on God or, you know, a theological discussion on the characteristic of God. Instead, take it as a parable. It's a story that helps us to understand things. I mean, Jesus' parables never treat God perfectly. tells the parable of the prodigal son. He talks about the father watching and waiting for the son to come back, right? Well, the father represents God. God does not wait for you to come back. He's there with you. Jesus' parable is not perfect about God, but that's not his point. In the shack, God takes a man to these places he absolutely does not want to go. And it is terrible, and it is horrible, and it is healing. And God does that to us. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And the helper, the guide, the comforter, one of the things he wants to do is heal us. Kind of like the doctors trying to heal me of cancer. It's not always been a lot of fun. Actually, it's not all bad. My wife tells me every day I need to stop and take a nap. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Often when the Holy Spirit takes us places for healing, takes us places to find freedom, it isn't fun. You know, when we come to Christ, he sets us free from sin. He sets us free from death. He sets us free from condemnation. Absolutely. We are washed clean inside and out. There's no condemnation. But we don't believe it. We don't feel it. We don't live that way. Hey, it's a little bit of voice. We don't live free. We don't live that there's no condemnation. We have wounds, and they're deep in us. We have strongholds. Okay, strongholds are lies that are deep inside of us. Strongholds are lies that are deep inside of us. See, they are lies that we believe. Let's say you grew up believing that 1 + 1 = 3. Okay. You were taught it. All right. It doesn't matter that 1 + 1 = actually 4. You believe it is 3. Strongholds are lies we believe. Lies we believe about ourselves. Lies that we believe about life. We believe about God. But God sets us free. If we will follow God, he will teach us the truth. Has anybody ever heard Jesus say that he is the truth? Jesus is truth. And he will break down the stronghold. I mean, a stronghold. Picture a castle. A big castle. Impregnable. I mean, its foundations go down to the mantle of the earth. And its walls are thick. Its towers are tall. That's a stronghold. And the foundation of the stronghold is the lie. And until the lie is replaced, you'll never knock the stronghold down. They're too strong. And everybody has some kind of stronghold in their life. Everybody. You have come to believe that there are things that are inherently wrong with you. You just believe it. You believe there are things that are wrong with you. You probably, because of that, believe there are things wrong with God. If God made you and you are bad, then God must be bad. Think about the lie you believe. What is it you believe that is deeply wrong with you? Don't think of it as a lie yet. What is it you believe is your fatal flaw? Somewhere you learned it. Maybe you believe you're worthless. You're just worthless. Maybe you believe you're dumb. You know, people called you a box of rocks all your life. Or you're lazy. Maybe somebody when you were a kid told you that your voice is horrible and you cannot sing, so don't sing. Maybe they said you're hopeless. Maybe they told you you have no imagination. You know, I read a story once. I read an article once. If you will take children and convince them that they have a good imagination, they will be imaginative. And if you convince them they don't, then they won't. But I don't know how you do a study like that without ruining children. I don't know how you do that kind of a study. But I think I believe it. Maybe you were taught you were ugly. Maybe you were taught you were weird and not in a good way. You know, maybe all those jokes that those people always said, you always believed that they were right. Maybe somebody told it to you. Maybe somehow they proved it to you. Maybe they abused you. Maybe you just came to believe it on your own. But Satan planted the lie. Satan came along when something happened and whispered in your ear and said something like, you know, you're a dork. You're always going to be a dork. Or you've been abused and you deserve it. You've been hurt. You've been assaulted and you deserve it. I believe the only thing that deserves to be assaulted are peanuts and cashews. My opinion. That was for you, Paul. Okay, and almonds. Maybe you were taught that you're never going to be good enough. You're not a real man. You're not a real woman. Your past is too broken to be healed. You're too broken to be fixed. You're too short. You're too fat. You're too tall. You're a loser. You're trapped in somebody else's body. Think about that for a minute. Talk about strongholds. And how many people do I know who tell me woman trapped in a man's body. Or I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. Now they believe it. But it's a lie. These are just all ideas. And it's hard to face these lies. It hurts to think about it. If somebody convinced you you're a dork, it hurts to think you're a dork. And it hurts to face it. Now, Jesus told many people to follow him. I believe Nana talked about that last week. But Jesus talked to people about following him. And he calls the same to us. He wants us to follow him. And it is the following that we find the healing. It is in the following of Jesus that we find the healing. God takes us down those paths we don't want to go. Seriously, read or watch The Shack, and you will see this guy go paths he doesn't want to go, and neither would you. I mean, it's horrible what God makes that guy go through in order to find healing. But the man needed healing. See, these lies run deep. They don't come out easily, and they hurt us. When God takes us through things that are hard, things that are difficult, things that are frightening, things that are bad, it is for our own good. I was taught once, when I'm reading hard scripture, to ask myself, why would a loving God say or do that? I can't always come up with the answer. You know, why would a loving God ask Abraham to kill his son? That's tough. We're not given enough answers. But when God takes us through hard things, it's for our good. Why would a loving God have me go through lung cancer? That's a great question. I think it's so I can get more naps. I'm making up for all those years. My mother wanted me to take a nap and I wouldn't. When God takes us through hard things, it's for our freedom. It's for our life. One of the things that we see, very few Christians walk in freedom. Very few Christians walk in freedom. That's one of the powerful things of the healing journey. It's helping people find some freedom. But it's painful. It's hard. I think few of us walk in freedom because few of us trust God enough to do what he wants us to do. We keep protecting our own strongholds because we're too afraid. We keep protecting our stronghold and say, God, I will not go down that path. I'm too afraid. I don't trust you. So instead, we ought to tell him the truth. God, I'm afraid, but I want to trust you. Help me. God, I'm afraid, but with your help, I will trust you. I don't want to do it, but because you're asking me to, I will. Help me to do it. I just want to close a little bit about the cancer. besides trying to hear me today is that it's so public. When people go through cancer, almost nobody knows. We tell a few people. We ask for prayer, but then we hide it, right? We go bald, so we wear wigs or hats. And we do everything we can not to let anybody know. When we're having a bad day, we don't get around people. I tell you, it is really tempting not to preach today. My doctor told me not to. I'm disobeying doctor's orders. This is, AMA, against medical advice. And I'm doing this. And yeah, I'm stubborn. I'm not going to argue about that. But part of what's hard is that it's public. And we don't know what to do with that. That makes it hard on everybody. So a couple of thoughts. Why would a loving God allow this into my life and into your life? We'll learn that in the following. As we follow God, we'll learn. Maybe it's for God to take down a stronghold in my life. Maybe it's for God to take down a stronghold for Billy Joe or Becky or Heather. Maybe it's for God to take down strongholds for you. I don't know. But it's part of his love. This is for my good. It's for our good. And it's for your good. We're going to follow the Holy Spirit. We're going to trust God. And I think in the middle of all this, we find some more freedom. So we trust God and we follow. This is a path that God is leading me down. It's a path that God is leading us down. And he knows best. Maybe if nothing else, and one of you may get sick. Maybe some of you are. And you want to hide it. And you don't want to tell anybody. And that makes it harder. And maybe this is just enough to say, well, God knows best and I can let people know. I don't know. I want to close with Romans 15:13. I've been using this verse for a couple of months now. This is a sermon, and then we have a final song because I refuse to skip the final song today. Those of you who are hard of hearing, if you have turned your earplugs up to try to hear me, turn them down during the last song. I like this song loud, and you can't fire me. So I want to close with this verse, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.